12, please. Romans chapter 12. I want to deliver a message to you this evening that I believe is a very timely message. The message is entitled The Mandate of Spiritual Transformation. In Romans chapter 12, you'll stand with me if you're able. We'll read verses 1 and 2. The Bible says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I pray, Father, for the message. I thank you for the privilege of sharing about the work in the Solomons. I pray, Lord, for this dear church, and I pray, Lord, your blessing upon them. We thank you for their support. We thank them for the support they have provided. And Father, we just pray that you'll bless this time now as we open your word and you give me an opportunity to preach and to share a portion of it. And may you use it to change the lives of the people that are gathered. And Lord, may you use it even to change my life. In Jesus' name, amen. As you're being seated, I want to say how much I'm impressed. I was talking with Brother Isaac today when I arrived. I said, last time I was here, you were sharing with me a little bit about the property near you and you, some building plans that you had. I was absolutely, I just thought I'd like to shout, but it wouldn't be appropriate since we're Baptist to shout. That's a joke too. When he shared with me about the property that you've been able to acquire near the church and the plans that you have to build and to make a bigger handprint in Muldrow, Oklahoma, I just think it is amazing, and we often don't see churches taking those steps of faith and trusting God to provide. You know, we want to see growth, but I want to tell you, when a church begins to build and to acquire property and to determine that we are going to be visible and present in this community for the honor and the glory of the Lord, I believe that God blesses that faith and that courage to step out. So I just want to say to you, I commend you for the faith that you've shown and doing what you've done already. And don't stop here. Okay? In fact, just buy the city street and take over the whole end of this town, okay? That'd be great. Can you have that done next month? Okay, I'd like to come back and see it before I go, or after I get back. Maybe you can finish that while I'm gone. I want to talk to you this evening about this mandate for spiritual transformation. We need a transformation tonight and in our day-to-day that's really not physical. That's really not dealing with physical things. We need a transformation that is truly a spiritual transformation. We need to be transformed by Jesus Christ. We need to be transformed into His image, and we need to be transformed for His glory. Okay? Now, may I say to you, the person that allows that to happen in their life is going to have a far more enjoyable and successful Christian life than those who either choose not to be transformed or they just choose to exist as a believer. Now some say, well, I'm not going to be transformed. I don't want to be transformed. I like living the way I'm living. Now I can't imagine anybody enjoying living a defeated Christian life. There's guilt that comes with that. There's all kinds of problems that come along with that, and I don't know why anyone would want to live that way, but if you allow God to transform your life spiritually, you will have an enjoyable life. I want to say to you this evening that I'm afraid we speak very little about spiritual transformation because we really and truly know very little about it. Because we don't see it happen that often. I was reading not too terribly long ago in preparation of this message about a lady who was stated that she was encouraged when she heard of famous people give a testimony of salvation and spiritual transformation because she had almost never experienced that in her life. She never saw real people get transformed. Now, maybe she hadn't been around the right places, and maybe she just hasn't seen it because it doesn't really happen. And I may say to you that as the pastor of Calvary for 15 years and 9 months, I really could probably count on one hand, maybe two, the people that I met in those near 16 years whose life was truly transformed. Completely. You see, the word transformed, if you look it up in the Greek and you study that out, you find that it is a repetitive and ongoing process. You're not transformed one moment and you're transformed for the rest of your life. It is an ongoing daily process that happens every day. You are transformed. Paul said, I die daily. He didn't die just once. He died every day. He had to say to flesh, no, you're not having your way in my life. Transformation happens every single day. I've seen people whose lives were turned right side up instantly, but they weren't really transformed because it only lasted a short time. We want to see victory in our home. We want to see victory with our kids. We want to see victory in our church. We want to see victory in our government. It's going to require a real spiritual transformation. And the Bible said in verse 2, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now, I want to tell you, I was reading an article, and I really don't even know who to give credit for it. But it wasn't mine, and so let the Lord give credit and glory to whoever deserves that. But here's what this said. I don't like reading things, but this was really too good not to share. The writer of this article said this, at no time I can detect in all of this nation's history is our commitment to Christian higher education more important than it is now. Who would doubt America is markedly more pagan in its thinking than it has ever been? Who would be so foolish as to deny biblical principles are less known and more directly challenged than at this juncture? Our young people have been bombarded with an anti-biblical worldview all their lives. At some point, we must push back. The home, the church, ministry, the youth group, they are all important. You can't deny that that's true. Our children have been bombarded with an anti-biblical worldview their entire lives. And you know what? We try at church, we try at home a little bit here and there, but they're getting fed information from all kinds of places. I want you to consider in this matter of the mandate of spiritual transformation, I want you to consider a few things with me. One, the path to spiritual transformation. How does that happen? How do you get on the track to make that happen? Well, first, it's going to require a surrender on your part and my part. This surrender, number one, has to simply be in the matter of salvation. Jesus said in John 3:7, marvel not, I said unto you, ye must be born again. It wasn't you could be, you should be. It is an option for you. Jesus said you must be born again. And to be born again means you must surrender your will and your life to Him. We usually hear, and it used to be the normal thing we'd hear someone would get saved, I gave my life to Jesus. You know what that means if you give your life to Jesus? It means that I'm giving myself up, I'm going to die, and I'm going to let Jesus have full control of my life. We use that term, but you know, it's almost become kind of one of those in vogue little things we say. It's just a churchy little term. Doesn't mean anything. That's just the way you're supposed to say it. But unfortunately, it's really not what happens most of the time. They make a profession of faith, but they really don't give their life to Christ. There has to be a surrender. Beyond salvation, you have to realize that you've got to stay connected to the vine. Jesus said in John 15:5, that you cannot have life unless you stay connected to me. I'm paraphrasing. But he said, unless you stay connected to the vine, you're going to die. I don't care what plant it is. I don't care what kind of vegetable or fruit or whatever it may be. Once you pluck it from the source of life, it's going to deteriorate. It will just always happen. You see, this path also requires stamina. You know, the Greek word transformed, as I mentioned a few moments ago, is really indicating an ongoing process. When I played ball, I hated those first practices of the football season. Some of you that play ball, you understand what I mean. You go out there and they send you this thing a couple weeks ahead of time. You ought to kind of get practicing up on your running. You ought to kind of build up a little stamina because when you get here, we got a lot of work to do. And you kind of hit and miss at that and you show up for 2 days back when real men played football. It's not really tough anymore. I think these young guys have it made, really. We would run. I don't mean to be gross, but we would run until you puked. And you'd run while you puked. You'd run after you puked. And then you'd puke some more. That's just how it went. But you know what? It required stamina to get through those early practices. And you know what happened whenever season got started? Third game, fourth game, fifth game. I remember when I was a senior, I was not on one thing. I wasn't on kick return. I was on every other thing. Defense, offense, every single thing there was. And I'm going to tell you, at the end of the game, man, you were just spent. But you know what? The stamina that was required at practice early in the year is what really gave you the endurance to be able to make it at the end. I want to tell you that as a Christian, if we're going to really have spiritual transformation, the path requires surrender, but it requires stamina. You think about the people in the Bible that had to have stamina. You think about Joseph. 22 years he was in an Egyptian prison to some degree. Wasn't able to go home. 22 years he waited on his brothers to come so that he could say, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. You think about Noah, 100 years to build the ark, and Daniel prayed, the Bible says in Daniel chapter 10, verse 12, since the day that you began to pray, I've heard your prayer. And the Bible tells us just in those few verses, 21 days in a row Daniel prayed for the same thing. He stayed at it. What about Nehemiah? He built a wall and rebuilt the wall in 52 days. Joshua and Caleb wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. Listen, there are example on top of example in the Scripture of people who had stamina. It's also going to require sacrifice. It's beyond just surrender. It's beyond the stamina, but it comes to a place of sacrifice. You and I have to give up some things. Things that might not be necessarily immoral. Some hobbies that we might enjoy that interfere with our walk with Christ. I think about men for the most part in this, but I'm sure ladies can too. But I think about guys and they're hunting and they're fishing and, well, you know, it's just one Sunday. You know what I found? That one Sunday turns into two Sundays. And once that happens, now I'm not as bothered about missing, and you miss a little bit more. But listen, mamas can do that too. And all the while mama and daddy are not really making a sacrifice and really making the diligent due effort to come to church, you know what they're doing? They're saying to their kids, you don't really have to go if there's something important that comes. Now, folks, I want to tell you, if you really want to have spiritual transformation in your life, you're going to have to get on the path. And it's going to require some things, surrender and stamina and sacrifice. I want you to consider the effect of spiritual transformation. One thing that I think is a significant effect is that your beliefs are transformed. You see, you and I, whenever we allow spiritual transformation to take place, we're reading the Bible, we're trusting the Bible, we're believing it to be the Word of God, and we're allowing what we read here to affect my thinking. But you put this to a test, and I guarantee you, if you thought about it for a minute, you could find someone that you know that would fit this description. They get away from church, and they get away from their Bible, and they begin to allow the people at work to say, you know, it's all right. If you just go out with us just one time, it's not a problem. And you get to thinking about that and you say, you know, I ought to be able to live a little. It's okay if I go over to the casino. It's just for dinner. You say, well, it's not okay. Yeah, it's not okay. You're right, it's not okay. But you know what? When you allow people to say, well, it's just dinner. And you go in, I've never been in any of these here. I don't know what they do. They have quite an attraction. The one in Idabel's full most of the time. You drive down the road, there's more cars there than there are at church. I thought about something. I'm just going in there and witnessing, probably find some church members in there. Now, don't think bad about us, because I imagine there's people on your church row that probably go to those kind of places. But you know, if you allow those people to tell you, it's all right, and you go and nothing bad happens, you just eat dinner and you think, that wasn't that bad. It ain't going to be long until you're going to say, well, maybe I'll just play just for a minute. A lot of people have played just for a minute and lost everything they had. You don't want to do that. And yet when we allow spiritual transformation to take place, there's an effect. And the Bible begins to affect my thinking. I began to believe the Bible is the Word of God, and I'm not going to let anybody tell me something that contradicts this, because I believe that this really is the right way. You see, we live in a mixed up society. You watch modern day TV and you find out that kids are being taught that their parents are ignorant, dad's a goofball. You ever watch any, you ever just even for a moment, now don't sit there like you ain't ever done it. You ever seen any of those programs, those modern TV programs? Dad is always the biggest goofball in the whole house. Like he ain't got sense to get out of the rain. He's the brunt of everybody's joke. And why are they doing that? They are destroying in those children's mind the structure that God has established in the family. That's all they're doing. They're undermining that, and they're succeeding. Did you know it? Recently, I was watching one of these investigative programs. This just shows you how far we've gone. In one of these investigative programs, there was a young girl. She was about 16. Her boyfriend was 17 or 18. And they'd been dating for a little while. The parents of the girl had no idea she was even seeing this boy. Well, at a point in time in their relationship, the boy shot and killed the girl. It was brutal. Killed her. Turns out she was 4 months pregnant. Of course, the baby died also. And he shot her and killed her because he thought that she was seeing somebody else. Now, they're not married, mind you. He thought she was seeing someone else. And in his mind, it was justified to take her life. But the very judicial system in our country that says it's okay to abort a baby charged him with 2 counts of manslaughter. Now, that was the right thing to do, mind you. I believe it was the right thing to do because he killed 2 people.
That's right.
But the very judicial system that gave him 2 counts of manslaughter is the very one that says it's okay to abort a baby if you just don't want it anymore. Now, folks, something is wrong, and we've allowed the world to dictate our thinking.
That's right.
Now, I don't want to get on the political thing, but good gracious. I'm not going to go there, Brother Isaac. Just think about what happened a couple of weeks ago in our political arena with abortion and all that. The people who do that ought to be punished. I don't care what you think.
Amen.
If the abortion doctor hog ties and takes a girl that's pregnant aside and aborts her baby, and she didn't want that to happen, she is a victim.
That's right.
But I'm afraid that if she goes in there on her own accord, she's not a victim. I said I wasn't going there. I did. I'm sorry. You see, if we'd read the Word of God and teach the Word of God and live the Word of God, folks, I believe we would make a difference in our society.
Amen.
You see, people don't believe the Bible means anything because it's just some good suggestions to live by. But it's not good suggestions to live by. It is the very Word of God. The authority of Almighty God is behind these words.
Amen.
And who are you and I to question it and set it aside and say, I think I like what they say on TV about it. You see, not only are my beliefs transformed, but my conversation or my behavior is transformed. You know, we understand that whenever we allow God to transform us, what I used to do ought to change. And once those changes occur, I'm not going to be as apt to be conformed to the image of the worldly, but I'll be more likely to be conformed, transformed into the image of the heavenly. And when we allow the Lord to transform us, the effect is that my beliefs are transformed, my behavior is transformed, but my priorities are transformed. Because you see, what you used to think, well, I could miss church for that. You start saying, you know what? I don't want to miss church for that. Notice what it says in verse number 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. It is the least that you can do. Now, Jesus gave His life. The Bible says that Christ gave His body as a living sacrifice. He died, literally gave His life for the redemption of all mankind. You and I are not asked to do that. In fact, we couldn't do that even if we wanted to. Your child rebels against God and you say, I will give my life, Lord, if you'll forgive them for what they do. No, it's not good enough. But you and I must understand that whenever we allow ourselves to be spiritually transformed, my priorities are transformed. Now, whenever we begin to plan for something or do something, and somebody says, well, now we're going to have to go on Wednesday night to do this thing. You say, look, I'm not going. I've got church that night. It's an opportunity for us to worship the Lord. It's an opportunity for us to hear God's Word presented, whether it's taught or preached. We're able to go and we're able to encourage and strengthen our walk. And I will not allow anything to infringe upon that. And I don't want to miss my church for that. And they say, well, aren't you being a little unrealistic? Well, maybe, by their definition. But to us, it's not unrealistic. It's what we want to do. Amen. And I want to say to you that if transformation occurs in my life, it'll transform the people around me. But if I'm not really spiritually transformed, you say, well, no, wait a minute, I'm a pretty good person. But you know what? The people around you every day, they really know how you are. You can put the dog on up here and pretend like you're all that about being godly and Christ-like. But the people that know you and are around you, you want them folks to be transformed too. You want your children to be transformed. You want your children to believe that it's real. You want your employees at your work to believe that it's real. You want your fellow employees to believe that it's real. You want the person at the gas pump to believe that it's real. You want the lady behind the counter at the fast food or the convenience store to believe that it's real. And if we're going to do that, we've got to be real about it. Amen. And you know what? Sometimes people are ugly and despicable and they don't give us good service at the restaurant. And I'll tell you, I have to admit, I've been with a person who's a Christian, claims to be a Christian, before at a restaurant and just treats the help like they're just... Well, it's just despicable to me. It's embarrassing to me. It ought to be embarrassing to everybody. We ought to be the best witnesses and the best servants we can possibly be. The last thing, the goal for spiritual transformation, verse 2 tells us what the goal is. He says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove, be transformed, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You and I need to be transformed so that we leave no doubt what God's will is. What is God's will? It's for you to be transformed. You see, it's just a cycle. The will of God is that you would be transformed to the image of God and not conformed to the image of the world. That's God's will for us. And you and I need to live our lives and be transformed so that the will of God would be proven and no doubt at all what God's will is. God's will is not that you would have your way in everything. God's will is that you and I would conform to His will. That is His will. And we need to be able to prove that. We prove that to the believers. I want to say to you that those who are members of this church who are just casual attendees, and maybe you are here tonight, and you have to admit, I don't know, I know you when I see you because I've been here more than once, but maybe if you looked at your own life, you'd say, you know what, I'm kind of a casual attendee at this church. Only you can make that call. These people that are here every week ought to live their life in such a way to prove to you that are casual attendees what God's will is that we would be transformed in the image of God. But we not only prove that to the folks who are members and other believers, we are to prove that to unbelievers. Those folks that we meet that are lost, And you don't know they're lost unless you ask them. And guess what? Even if you ask them, you still don't know for sure. But you know what? Whether they're lost or whether they're saved, they're going to make a judgment about you. And if they know that you claim to be a Christian, they're going to be making a judgment about you that's a lot more harsh than one they don't if they don't even know you at all. If they know you claim to be a Christian, they're going to watch you closely. You say, that's not fair. Hey, it doesn't say it's fair. They are going to judge you. You see, you and I judge people. You say, I don't judge folks. Everybody judges somebody. And judging is just discerning, deciding. The waitress who waits on you, you decide. She seem like a nice young lady, or does she seem like a lady that's probably going to scream and holler by a witness to her? You make those decisions all the time. You go into a place of business, you shop there, you eat there, you decide, am I going to come back here or am I not coming back here? And you're judging them based on the interaction that you have with the people, whether or not you want to come back there or not. And you want, they're going to judge your church, they're going to judge this ministry by how they see you and how you behave towards them. And those unbelievers that we meet are going to have it proven to them that this is the will of God, that we would be transformed to be in the image of Christ. And the goal, finally, is real simple. All of what I've told you is even important. But the goal of spiritual transformation is really not that you and I would be more Christ-like. It is one of the byproducts of that. It's not so that people can necessarily get saved. It's really so that God would get glory. And can I say to you that if we go about this, allow our lives to be lived and allow God to transform us spiritually, and God gets the glory for that. And I mean, He really gets the glory. Do you realize that folks are going to get saved because of that? You really are going to be changed. Your children really will begin to listen to you as someone who's serious and not just, well, that's just how Dad is. No, they're going to begin to believe you because you are speaking with the authority of God. If God's getting the glory, then all those other things begin to happen. But if we're wanting to be transformed so that we can go around like everybody says, I'm going to tell you, he's such a great Christian. She's such a wonderful, sweet lady. Jesus has really done a work in her life. Ain't she something? But God may not get the glory for that. What we want is God to get glory. That is the big goal, really, of spiritual transformation, is that people would say, you remember what they said about Jesus, Nicodemus said about Jesus? We know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do what you do. No man can do these miracles except God be with him. You know what we want people to say about us? I know for a fact that you've been spiritually transformed because nobody could have done in your life what happened in your life but God. That's our goal. Spiritual transformation happens because you decide that you're going to let it happen. Maybe you need to decide that you're going to allow Jesus to forgive you of your sin and you're going to repent and be saved. Maybe you decide tonight that I've been saved a long time ago, but it's time really for me to fully and truly surrender my life to God. And nobody can decide that but you. I'm not even your pastor. And if I could decide that for every one of you, and I knew your name, I would stand right here and I'd begin going down the list and I'd call you by name. I'd say, God, transform them tonight for your glory. God, even if they don't want it, make it happen. If I could pray that and it would happen and you would be transformed and you'd get started down the path that you needed to be on and God would do things with you, I would do that if it would help, but I can't do that. Brother Isaac can't do that. Your spouse can't do that. And you can make people feel as guilty as you want to try to make them feel, but that's not going to make them do what they're supposed to do. You and I being transformed will do more for the people around us than anything we'll ever say. It's a mandate given to us. Be not conformed, but be transformed. Be ye transformed. Not an option. It's a mandate. Father, I ask your blessing in this message. I thank you for the privilege of being here. I thank you for the privilege of presenting the Word. But Lord, I thank you for the privilege of preaching your Word tonight more than I appreciate the privilege of presenting SIMBSS. I pray that you'll get the glory for this service. And may you do a work in the lives of the people that have gathered. And may you do a work in my own life. In Christ's name, amen.
Let's stand together. We're going to sing a verse of invitation. One number, brother.
Page 514.
Transformation comes when we surrender. A lot of great stuff, Brother Doug said, but that's where it begins.